Live and Lansing, Jack Eveling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back to Eveling and You. This is Gene Carollin, your guest host on Monday, November the 22nd, 2010. Jack Eveling is in Maui, Hawaii right now, visiting with his son, Zach, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a couple of minutes. But the New York Times opinion pages published a very interesting open letter, and I thought our listeners would enjoy this. Dear Uncle Sam, my mother told me to send thank you notes promptly. I've been remiss. Let me remind you why I'm writing. Just over 2 years ago, in September of 2008, our country faced an economic meltdown. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the pillars that supported our mortgage system, had been forced into conservatorship. Several of our largest commercial banks were teetering. One of Wall Street's giant investment banks had just gone bankrupt, and the remaining three were poised to follow. AIG, the world's most famous insurer, was at death's door. Many of our largest industrial companies, dependent on commercial paper financing that had disappeared, were weeks away from exhausting their cash resources. Indeed, all of corporate America's dominoes were lined up, ready to topple at lightning speed. My own company, Berkshire Hathaway, might have been the last to fall, but that distinction provided little solace. Nor was it just business that was in peril. 300 million Americans were in the domino line as well. Just day before, the jobs, income, 401ks, and money market funds of these citizens had seemed secure. Then virtually overnight, everything began to turn into pumpkins and mice. There was no hiding place. A destructive economic force unlike any seen for generations had been unleashed. Only one counterforce was available, and that was you, Uncle Sam. Yes, you are often clumsy, even inept, but when business and people worldwide race to get liquid, you are the only party with the resources to take the other side of the transaction. And when our citizens are losing trust by the hour in institutions they once revered, only you can restore calm and confidence. When the crisis struck, I felt you would understand the role you had to play, but you've never been known for speed, and in a meltdown, minutes matter. I worried whether the barrage of shattering surprises would disorient you. You would have to improvise solutions on the run, stretch legal boundaries and avoid slowdowns, like congressional hearings and studies. You also need to get turf-conscious departments to work together in mounting your counterattack. The challenge was huge, and many people thought you were not up to it. Well, Uncle Sam, you delivered. People will second-guess your specific decisions. You can always count on that. But just as there is a fog in war, there is a fog of panic, and overall, your actions were remarkably effective. I don't know precisely how you orchestrated these, but I did have a pretty good idea, a pretty good seat as events unfolded, and I would like to commend a few of your troops. In the darkest days, Ben Bernanke, Hank Paulson, Tim Geithner, and Sheila Bair grasped the gravity of the situation and acted with courage and dispatch. And although I never voted for George W. Bush, I give him great credit for leading, even as Congress postured and squabbled. You've been criticized, Uncle Sam, for some of the earlier decisions that got us into this mess, most prominently for not battling the rot building up in the housing market. But then few of your critics saw matters clearly either. In truth, almost all of the country became possessed by the idea that home prices could never fall significantly. That was mass delusion, reinforced by rapidly rising prices that discredited the few skeptics who warned of trouble. Delusions, whether about tulips or internet stocks, produce bubbles. And when bubbles pop, they can generate waves of trouble that hit shores far from their origin. This bubble was a doozy, and its pop was felt around the world. So again, Uncle Sam, thanks to you and your aides, often you are wasteful and sometimes you are bullying. On occasion, you are downright maddening. But in this extraordinary emergency, you came through, and the world would look far different now if you had not. Your grateful nephew, Warren. That is signed, ladies and gentlemen, by Warren E. Buffett, the chief executive of Berkshire Hathaway. Berkshire is, of course, a diversified holding company, and Warren Buffett in financial circles is often referred to as the Oracle of Omaha because of his ability to make prescient investments and the money that he's made over the years. So as we talk about all of the bad things that have possibly happened in America, it's sometimes good, especially at this blessed time of the year, to remember some of the good things that America stands for and some of the things that some of the hope that that we still have available to us. I want to talk a little bit about this day in history. November the 22nd, 1963. This was a day that I will always remember. I was 16 years old when John F. Kennedy, often referred to by his initials, JFK, the 35th President of the United States, was assassinated in Dallas, Texas on June the 22nd, 1963. A little bit of bio on JFK. After military service as a commander of the motor torpedo boat PT-109 during World War II in the South Pacific, Kennedy represented Massachusetts' 11th Congressional District in the U.S. House of Representatives from 1947 to 1953. As a Democrat, he thereafter served in the U.S. Senate from 1953 to 1960. He defeated then-Vice President and Republican candidate Richard Nixon in the 1960 U.S. presidential election, one of the closest in American history. He was the second youngest president after Roosevelt, after Theodore Roosevelt, and the first president born in the 20th century and the youngest ever elected to the office at the age of 43. Plus, Kennedy was the only Catholic and the first Irish-American president, and he's the only president to, at that point in time, to have won the Pulitzer Prize. Events during his presidency included the Bay of Pigs invasion, the Cuban Missile Crisis, the building of the Berlin Wall, the space race, and the African-American civil rights movement and the early stages of the Vietnam War. Again, Kennedy was assassinated on November the 22nd, 1963 in Dallas, Texas. Lee Harvey Oswald was initially charged with the crime, but he was shot and killed 2 days later by Jack Ruby before any trial. The FBI, the Warren Commission, and the House Select Committee on Assassinations concluded that Lee Harvey Oswald was the assassin. However, that has not disrupted a very, very potential conspiracy theory over the years. Today, Kennedy continues to rank very highly in public opinion polls of former presidents. So a little bit of history. On November the 22nd, I was 16 years old, and I remember that was the worst Thanksgiving we had ever had because of the grief that America felt. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes on Ebling and You as we take a short break. Thanks so much for joining us.